This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the second hour of the Q&A program, the Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4, and on Monday night it's going to be from 8 to 10 p.m. Mufti Sahab, our next question: can one follow the Imam from one's room in Makkatul Mukarramah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That would not be permissible, because what will happen is your room is right there at the back in ABC XYZ Hotel, and you are just hearing the voice, or you have switched on the TV and you are looking at the Imam. So definitely that, according to majority scholars, your salat will be null and void. Your mothers and sisters need to know that you should be rather reading your individual salat in your respective hotels. And Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the Imam in Makkah and Medina. And yet the Master alayhi salatu wasalam said, وَبُيُوتُهُنَّ خَيْرُ لَهُنَّ. Authentic hadith mentioned in Abu Dawood. And the homes are better for you. And open targhib wa tarheeb, you will find authentic hadith of Humayda Sa'idiyya. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have this great desire, I want to read salat behind you in Masjid Nabawi. The Master alayhi salam told her, read salat in your house. You have a front room, a middle room, and a back room. So if you read in the front room, it's better than reading Masjid Nabawi. You read in the middle room, your reward will be even more. You read in the back room, it will be the greatest optimum reward. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and Sahaba, when the women used to come to the masjid for Jummah, they used to take that pebble, small, tiny little stones, and they used to throw in their direction, go open targhib wa tarheeb. These are not ordinary mortals and sinners like me and you. These are the great, great muftis and the faqih and jurists of this ummah. So therefore, you sisters, you must know, and the men also. Today, how many men, they just read salat wherever they are. They're in the hotels on the third floor, fourth floor, they have special places, and they just go there and read salat. But there's no ittisale sufuf. The sufs are not carrying on. So in that case there, the salat is not valid. Yes, Jummah time, Ramadan time, Hajj time, season time, when the crowd is packed and you read there in those rooms, in those halls there on top, then it's different. But like this, for you to read in your own room, that's not permissible behind the Imam.
Mufti Sahib, if a husband keeps on telling his wife, just go from here, get out of here, she does not know what's in his heart or what he means by saying that. What is the verdict on this, Mufti Sahib?
As long as he has not made intention of talaq when he tells her to get out, go to your mother's place, in other words we can't even use, so, and he tells her that, if he made intention of talaq, then the talaq will be valid. And if he don't make intention of talaq, then remember the talaq, the nikah is still valid. But best is, both of you must go to your local ulama and the jamiyat, whoever, or any organization you have confidence in, and remember that they must explain to him the ramifications. If you're lying, then you're living in sin, and Allah Ta'ala's curse is upon you. So therefore, we the husbands, we should always ensure that we never utter this word talaq. Normally, people always come with the excuse, it was in anger. So who gives talaq to his wife whilst making love to her, whilst he is busy with his wife with conjugal relationship? Nobody will give talaq then. So we need to control that anger and suppress it. Remember that. That is what Quran Sharif is teaching us. Surah 4, verse number 19. O you husbands, Allah is commanding me and you. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, respect, equity and justice. And Almighty Allah spoke about all of us. If we have real taqwa, وَالْقَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْضَ وَالْعَافِينَ مِنَ النَّاسِ اَبْنَي غُسَّي كُبِي لَيْتَي هَي. Beautiful translation in Urdu. That the true Muslims and people of taqwa are those, they spend fi sarra'i wa dharra. They spend in the path of Allah when the business is flourishing and when the economy is down, still they're spending. وَالْقَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, and they suppress their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and they even forgive people. And they go to the next step. They do those people favors as well. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, they fulfill their duty with beauty. Surah 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 134. Look at the glory of the noble Quran. O Ummah, every day read Quran Sharif. Sit by the ulama who are making tafsir, and you will understand the beauty, the glory, the miracle of the Quran. Therefore, 114 surahs and chapters, 6,236 verses. Why? Ah, yeah, every verse is a symbol, a sign of the majesty, glory, grandeur of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible for a male to keep braided hair?
When people keep braided hair, when people keep hair and then they tie a ponytail at the back, when people say they're keeping zulfa, today these youngsters, so I tell them, for you is not permissible. They use all these type of terms most of the time for fashion, and they want to imitate the soccer player, cricket player, film star and so forth. So if a person's hair is natural like that, that's different. But for a person to go deliberately and get his hair braided, or you make the afro style, or you want to, you know, wear the ponytail for the men we are speaking about, all this is haram and not permissible. Why? Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad Abu Dawood, man tashabbaha biqawmin fawa minhum, who imitates a people, you become part and parcel of them. We suffer from the inferiority complex. We think the West is the best and white is right. Nay, say Islam is the best and we will share Islam with the rest. That is what we have to do. That is our motto. And that is what we have to propagate. Become the true ambassador of Islam. Second one, that they want to imitate the woman. The woman wear ponytail and all that. You don't know whether you Eve or you Steve. You confused, my brother. So you are confused and your fuses are getting blown in the process. So remember, today in a masjid we see. The other day I went to a town, you know. And that person's father was with me in school. I just looked at him, I couldn't believe, you know, that this man came to the masjid and he's got earrings. The youngster got earrings and he came to the masjid and he came to make salam to me, you know. But I was just dumbfounded that, you know, I couldn't believe that your father was made in school and you behaving like Eve, but you are Steve, you are a Muslim supposed to be, and you behave like this. So remember that this is the satanic culture where the men want to imitate the women want to imitate the men. You see today the Muslim woman, how they cut their hair. From the back you can't make out is woman, male or female, whether it's Adam or Eve, Eve or Steve, you can't make out. Similarly, that the men today want to adopt the feminine qualities, that they want to wear earring. They want to have ponytail. They want to braid their hair. Funny, funny, crazy things. All this absolutely haram in Islam. Behave like a male. Don't become a female. Oh, female, you behave like a... Yesterday I was in Kwamashu, let me tell you. So, I spoke just for about 8 minutes, 10 minutes. I told each one of them there. I said, each one of you, Muhammad Musa Piri, is my student, so he knows my style also. So I told them, Mohammed Musa, tell them that if they can't speak good English, then you will translate for them, but each one must ask a question. So one brother asked a question. He said, in today's world, because they bombarded by the TV and the mass media, he said, you know, what is our answer that when these people tell us we must bring about equality, equality between the genders, whatever the male does, the female must do, whatever the female does, the male must do. I asked him, brother, why you don't ask them, can we get pregnant? Can we breastfeed? Remember, today they speak of equality between the genders. You know, I used to play a lot of sports when I was very young, 14, 15, 16. Till today, when you see tennis, they're not saying you must see it, but I'm explaining to you the hypocrisy of the West. That you must remember that the men play the best of five when they play tennis, and the women, they play the best of three. So where's your equality then? We ask the American regime, where is your equality? More than 230, 240 years on your so-called democracy, but you have never chosen one female president. In 2016, she thought she will be successful, Hillary, but they made a crooked Hillary and she failed, and she was unsuccessful. And you must remember, you look at the apartheid regime of Israel, so they had female prime minister, but they never had female president. So many examples we can give. We in Islam say that you, the lady, you are the minister of home affairs and interior affairs. Everything in the house, you responsible. You, the man, you are responsible for foreign affairs. Everything outside, you must sort out. That is how you bring about peace and harmony. Otherwise, all the women go to work, and then the men want to be busy with them. Then you have to bring the law of sexual harassment, and you have to bring all this. You ask Clinton, President Clinton, what he was doing there in the White House with Monica. You ask him.
Well, Mufti Sahib, moving on to the next question. The question is, says, I want to go for Umrah and my son wants to go for Jamaat. What should we do in this case?
MashaAllah, very good. So one brother goes, or the father goes for Umrah. When he comes back, then the son goes for Jamaat. So remember, it's give and take. You want to still run your business. You still want to have somebody at home for security reasons. So remember, that is not something that both of you must go simultaneously. All this is now Umrah. You can perform any time of the year beside the days of Hajj. And Jamaat, you can go any time, mashallah, for your 40 days, 4 months. So, aage piche kar lena, you just adjust everything. And don't say, no, we both can only go now and now, no. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. When you have true taqwa and piety, Allah will make the way out for you. So son, you go to your father, kiss his hand, go to your ummi and your beloved mother, if she's alive obviously, kiss her hand and say, you'll go, and when you return, then I will go for my jamaat and so forth. Take your parents' du'as and see how far you will go in life. So that is what you need to do, son.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, the sister is always having panic attacks and so on. She's got this anxiety that she's going to be dying and so on. What can she read or do to ease this, Mufti Sahib?
You, my honorable sister, you know the surah by heart. You waswisu fi sudurin nas. You are suffering from the whisperings of shaitan. The shaitan comes, you're going to die. You're going to get sick. This is going to happen to you. So whenever the shaitan wants to give you injection, you must tell him, I'm going to Quran. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغُونَ. Whenever the shaitan gives injection, say, فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Read, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ Ayatul Kursi, Surah Fatiha. يَفِرُّ مِنْهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. The shaitan will run and from there. Because the kalam of Almighty Allah is too powerful for all the iblis wa junudi. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min iblis wa junudi. Their leader is iblis. Ya Allah, I seek your protection from iblis and the agents of iblis. And you get the agents of iblis in jinn form, the invisible creation of Allah, and human form. All these people, politicians, maulvis, or whoever, muftis, or whatever imams you want to call, whatever, and they calling towards batil and falsehood, remember they are the agents of shaitan, and they are part of the Hizbu Shaitan. See Quran? You waswisu fi sudurin nas. They are making waswasa, whisperings in your heart. Minal jinnati wan nas. And these shayateen who carry out this whispering, they from the jinnat and from the people as well. So therefore, be very careful with whom you mingle and associate.
Mufti Saab, is it permissible for a woman who is in a state of haze to enter the ladies' section of the masjid?
It's haram, absolutely. Whether you're going there just to hear a lecture, you're going there to hear, to attend a lesson, you're going there to see how people read salat, all that is haram. La, you must remember that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, la yahillu li ha'idin aw junubin, that is not halal for a lady who is in menses or a person who's in junub. That is ceremonial impurity, husband-wife relationship, wet dream, where you are in need of a first obligatory, compulsory ghusl and bath, that you enter the masjid, absolutely haram it is. And you ladies, sisters, I'm amazed, you know. What need you got to come to the masjid? Today, I'm speaking here live. Hafiz Wadi is sitting there in Durban. And our brother here, Lucky, is here with me. And that side there in Durban is Dawood Munli. You are sitting in Amanskral. You are sitting there in America. You are sitting in Europe or in Turkey. Haji Ikhlas is there. And you're listening to our program. So what need there is for you to come? Allah is making it so easy that wherever we are, we can listen to the program. One lady yesterday, she told me after I delivered the lecture at Avondale, Wafatun Nabiyyil Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we discussed on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, the demise of the master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place. She sent me a WhatsApp after that and said, Mufti Saab, I heard the lecture, but now you send the podcast, so now my family members will all listen to it in their time. So we have podcasts, we have everything for you. So Allah made it so easy. What need is there for you to enter the masjid, desecrating the sanctity of the masjid with your haiz and menses and napaki? Definitely haram, not permissible.
Mufti Saab, can you please explain what they mean when they say there is a PAL, P-A-A-L, in the Islamic month's calendar?
Just repeat that question of his wadi.
Yeah, Mufti Saab, it says, can Mufti Saab please explain what they mean when they say there is a PAL, P-A-A-L, in the Islamic month's calendar?
So the first time in my life I hear a word like
myself.
That.
Myself, Mufti Saab, I'm trying to figure out this word or this question.
So, unless there's some misspelling there or something there, PAL in Afrikaans means a pole, and this type of things are understood. So I don't understand the question myself. The person who sent the question, Islamic month, you must remember, you have Ayyamul Bidh. Ayyamul Bidh is 13, 14, 15 of the Islamic month. Or you have the Bidaya, it's called Ghurratu Shaharin, and that is when you read the du'as and so forth. Or if you speak of the ending, then you have 29 days or 30 days. So that is what happens in Islam. Regarding PAL and POL and all that, we don't understand the question. So make your questions very, very clear, please.
Okay, Mufti Saab, as I'm just looking at the questions further at the bottom, now it comes, it says, what is the meaning of large PAL? It's associated with the Sahaba.
What's the word?
It's large PAL.
So remember that these people here, they must explain what they're meaning. Just leave all these questions and carry on. We don't even understand what they speak.
Right. Mufti Saab, our next question that has come in, wanting to know that if one is always having a speech problem, speech difficulties in reciting, is there any dua for that?
Remember in Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verses 25, 26, 27, 28, you will find the dua of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is, he used to stammer and stutter in his speech. Rabbi shrahli swadri, wa yassirli amri, wahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. O Almighty Allah, that open and make my bosom, you know, easy and open it. And my tongue, that is all the knots that are there, you open that, O Allah. Expand my bosom and let the knots in my tongue be open so that the people can understand my speech. So read that abundantly. Inshallah, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will make your speech easy, and Almighty Allah will remove the stammering, stuttering and problems with your speech.
Mufti Sahib, next question that we have, it says that is it permissible to read your Asr just a few minutes before Maghrib, and the delay was due to me traveling?
Remember that a person who reads their Asr 5, 10, 15 minutes before sunset, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations, tilka salatul munafiq, that person there is a munafiq and a hypocrite. So therefore we can't say that the traveling and all that is a problem. You know that you are going from point A to point B, and you know it is peak period of traffic and so forth. So why you don't read your Asr Salat before you depart from your work or wherever? You know that according to majority scholars, after the one shadow, you have a pole, a pal. You understand? Just now some pal story came, Allah alone knows. So you have a pole, and that pole, one shadow comes, and then the second shadow starts. So Asr time is in already. And that is the verdict of majority scholars, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, and Imam Abu Hanifa's greatest students, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah. So you read, you take for example nowadays, that you take here, yeah, that you say, 6:30, for example, is sunset. So now 4 o'clock, you are going to leave your job at 4:15, 4:15, and now you come home, 6:15, 6:20. So why you didn't read your Asr 4 o'clock, 4:30? So Rimah is totally permissible. There's no problem in that. So therefore, we should use common sense, but common sense is no more common nowadays.
Mufti Sahib, what is the ruling for a girl to change her surname after nikah?
Totally permissible. It doesn't mean the people use the Quranic verse, Surah 33, verse 5. That is to do with waladiyat, ud'uhum li'abaihim. Huwa aqsatu indallah. When people were adopting children like nowadays, then they gave them their name or surname. That is not permissible. That is deception. You can't do that. So Quran Kareem states you must keep their biological father's name or surname. Otherwise, they are your brothers in religion if you do not know their name. Zaid, the son of Islam. Yasmin or Zainab, the daughter of Islam. Words like that you can use. But in the case of the wife, now she's married to you, so she can maintain her own maiden surname, or she can assume and take the surname of the husband, or she can combine both surnames and she will have a double barrel surname. So all that is totally permissible.
What is up? Next question that we have, this person wants to know, can I perform Salatul Duha Namaz immediately after Ishraq?
Yes, totally permissible. For example, nowadays, wherever you are, 5 o'clock, 5:30 is sunrise. Let's just say 5:30 is sunrise. So 5:45, you read the first 2 rakats, Salatul Ishraq. After that, you read another 2 rakats or 4 rakats, 2:00, and you read that Salatul Duha, Chash Namaz, totally permissible. And this is according to all schools. You must remember, people go to work, people have got no time there at work to read Salatul Duha, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, they're so engrossed, they're so busy. I know of some ulama who work 20 hours a day, and they are so busy. So when I ask them, when you read Salatul Duha, he says that I read Salatul Ishraq, and immediately after that, I read Salatul Duha. So totally permissible it is.
Mufti Sahib, the vet wants to euthanize the cat and suggests that it must be incinerated rather than burying it because the cat could possibly infect it and it's not advisable for humans to touch the cat. What's the verdict on this?
Remember, Islamically, when the cat is sick or the animal is sick and so forth, then you put it down, you euthanize it, that mercy killing, so injection or whatever. So all that, not for human beings, for animals, that is totally permissible, you can do so. You have a security dog, you have a cat, kitten, whatever it is. So euthanasia, mercy killing, all that permissible. But the second part, the vet or whoever says you must burn it, we reject that totally. La tu'adhib bin nar. No one can punish with fire and use the fire for human beings or animals. That is haram and not permissible. Only Almighty Allah has the prerogative to use that to punish people. So what we will do, we will say, say go bury it somewhere or go dump it in the ocean or in the river or dam or something. But to burn it, incinerate it, definitely not permissible Islamically.
Mufti Saab, this family is going for Umrah and they say that my nephew is 7 years old. Can he wear long sleeve vest under the ihram if he's getting cold?
In Makkah Mukarramah is summer, my brother. Where are you? You're going to, unless you're a very sickly guy, 7 year old, you must be bursting with energy, my brother. But anyway, let's say now the person, Allah gives shifa, is sickly and so forth, and he feels cold. You Durban people, you'll feel very cold, you know. Sometimes they come here, and it's a little bit cold, but they wear big, big overcoat, and that you will, even the Arabs, slightly cold, because they're so used to the heat, you know. So, yes, it can happen. So now you want to wear a vest or whatever you. It's not permissible to wear vest and all that whilst you're in ihram. But this is a youngster, 6, 7 years old, is not baligh and so forth. So there will be no dam and penalty upon them because they are marfu ul qalam, which means that they are not obligated for them to go into ihram in the first place. Because they are children, you see now, we just returned, you know, last week Sunday, we returned from Medina Munawwara. MashaAllah, you see the father with his son, 4 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old, and he got ihram. But with that ihram, you will see they got the jockey, they got the brief, they got that. So it's all children, because just now he'll open his fire brigade there, then what will happen, you know? So all that will be permissible and acceptable.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Saab. That brings us now to our final ad break, and we continue with the final 30 minutes after this.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, it's the last half an hour of the Q&A program this Sunday afternoon. Do remember that the Q&A is going to be tomorrow night as well from 8 to 10. Mufti Saab, moving on to the next question that we have. It says that, Mufti Saab, how do I make qadha of my fajr as I have missed many and recently I have thought that I need to make a change, and what's the way forward, Mufti Saab?
Obviously, the tawbah is compulsory upon each Muslim. Almighty Allah has commanded each one of us who is sane and mature and we are Muslims, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Turn to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in tawbah and repentance, all of you jamia. أَيُّوَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Ay iman walo, O you have iman, so that you are successful and prosperous. Secondly, that from the time you became baligh and mature till now, calculate how many Fard Salat, Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Hanafi say Witr also, so Qadha has to be read. So you must keep a chart, and then you must 1,000, so every day you read 2, 3, 4, 5. Qadha Salat, you got a whole day, whole night. The only time you can't read qadha is during sunrise, when the sun is there at the zenith, istiwa, and there is sunset time, 15, 20 minutes before sunset and sunset, so then you can't read qadha. So beside that, you got the whole night, you got the whole day, so sufficient time you got, yes, that's a sign that you are changing for the future. In my family, one uncle, he read qadha salat for 30 years, 35 years. He passed away in the masjid while reading salat. So you must remember that Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala looks at our sincerity and how maqbool and accepted that servant became. He must salat, used to read sometime, don't read. Perform hajj, change his life, and started qadha. Time came for death, whilst reading salat he passed away. So that is the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Mufti Saab, I would like to know, is there any hadith or information with regards to kids and adults being outside during Asr and Maghrib time?
The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Kuffu Sibyanakum, is mentioned by Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have children 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. So at the time of sunset, at the time when the sun, I remember very, very well. Because I grew up in the township, you know, which they have all my African friends, and we used to play football and soccer and whatever. So my mother used to shout me and tell me, come inside, it's Maghrib time, it's Maghrib time. But we carried on, because we didn't know better. We were young and, you know, the game of penalties, waiting and whatever else. So remember, this is wisdom of parents. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that your children, especially these masoom children, 4, 5, 6, 7 years, 8 years old, bring them in the houses at that time. فَإِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ تَنْتَشِرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَوَقْتِئِذٍ. At that time, the shaitan are going in different directions to have their caucus and to have their meetings. So you protect your beloved flower and son and daughter from the assault and the whispersa and whisperings of shaitan. So remember that this has basis. For men, you must go to the masjid. And woman, you must be at home reading your Maghrib Salat, not roaming around and so forth. So remember, that is what Islam teaches us. So the law is just before Maghrib, 5-10 minutes, and Maghrib time and so forth, especially for children.
Mufti Sahib, this lady has now got her third child, and it says that today her days of nifas are finishing, but she is still bleeding, so what should she do?
If you are sure that your nifas is finishing and still you are bleeding, so take your first ghusl. That will be compulsory upon you. And then the bleeding after that will be considered as istihada, which means that you start your salat, resume your salat, and for every first salat now you will make a fresh and a new hudu. So that will be compulsory upon you. And if your husband now 40 days have passed, he also must be a hungry man. A hungry man is an angry man. You sure that your nifas is finished, or you are 40 days now finished, and you're following the Hanafi Hanbali school, so husband-wife relationship can also resume.
Mufti Sahib, is a woman allowed to get belly piercing with the intention of beautifying oneself, Mufti Sahib?
Not permissible. Again, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 119. 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, you'll never hear these things happening. But today, people watch the movies. They see the actresses, Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood. Now, all the satanic activities, and the husband's brains are also half brains. So he tells his wife, you must remember, oh my darling, oh my popey, why you also don't put the belly ring, and you will look smarter, and so forth. So instead of we influencing the lives of people, we get influenced by the shaitan and his agents. The shaitan took this oath, وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will command them, and they will change the creation of Almighty Allah. So remember, definitely haram and not permissible.
Mufti Sahib, is there any dua for the victory of Muslims in India and all other parts of the world?
Yes, 100%. You must remember, we are Muslims. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Never become despondent, disillusioned in the mercy of Almighty Allah. So daily we make dua for ourselves, we make dua for the mazlumin and the oppressed Muslims throughout the world. And remember, we know Nasrum min Allah wa Fathun Qareeb. How many a time people thought they were on the verge of victory, and Almighty Allah humiliated and disgraced them. What do you think happened to the Pharaoh? He was sure that he is victorious, and Almighty Allah humiliated him and humiliated his people, beside those who embrace Islam and they join Nabi Musa alayhi salam. So today's zamana, in this day and this age, we have many the tin pot dictators, just like the small pharaohs, and they think they will last forever. Very soon they all will crumble, because Quran Kareem states, Ja al-haqqu wa zahaqa al-batil. The truth has come and the batil has perished. Why? Inna al-batila kana zahuqa. Verily the batil, the falsehood, must perish. It can never continue. I don't belong to any party, political party, anything, but I do a lot of reading with Allah's help, alhamdulillah. You know Margaret Thatcher. Margaret Thatcher, in 1983, she told, that time was the prime, the height of the apartheid regime here in South Africa. She said, Margaret Thatcher, the Iron Lady, as they call her, She said the ANC, I don't belong to any of these groups here. So the ANC is dreaming of coming into power. 1994, so Mandela becomes president and she was wondering what happened. So you must remember, تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. That is Allah Jalla Wala ka Qudrat Kamila. His absolute authority, sovereignty. He gives honor to whoever he wants. He disgraces whoever he wants. He gives country and power and sovereignty to whoever he wants. And he snatches it away from them. So these tenpot dictators, they all will fall sooner or later. And that must happen. Is sunnatullah, the system of Almighty Allah.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. This family is moving to a new house in the yard. They are very big trees. They would like to know, is it permissible to cut them off as they've been told that jinn are living on them?
So what you to tell the tree? Mr. Tree, I am going to circumcise you now and I'm going to chop your neck off. So you have to build thereby. Just make bismillah and cut the tree, bring the bulldozers in, end of the story. And if you're feeling frightened and what have you, just read the manzil, say bismillah and finish. So you must remember, it don't mean now you have to make the tree, the road go around the tree. When I went to Maputo the last time, I don't know how many years ago, when I entered there, I saw in the middle of the road, one tree popping out. I said, South Africa is not far from them, you know. Absab, I tell you one nice story about Maputo.
Okay.
I've been there several times. So there's one friend of mine, he say, Mufti Saab, tamena em karwano. He speaks with me Gujarati, you see.
Okay.
So we're going from one place to another and we have to travel at night. So now there's no lines there. You know those lines we have on the tar road. So he says, when you see the opposite car coming at night, you must on your right indicator. And he will also on his right indicator. So that's a sign that he knows where he's driving and you will know. So every time opposite traffic came, my right indicator goes on and the opposite guy puts his. So that's the Maputo style, Mozambique style, you see. So that is South Africa also is going like that. You see, we have a province here called MP. Mpumalanga. So we call it Makulu pothole. You get so many big, big potholes, craters, you know. So you must remember all these things you see even in South Africa now. So anyway, my brother, that all this, you want to cut your tree, you circumcise it, you behead it, all fine, permissible, no problem.
Mufti Sahib, next question. Very often for a child to fall asleep, recitation of the Qur'an is being played. This continues playing even after the child is asleep. Is this permissible or is it bi'adbi?
No, it's not permissible. It's disrespectful. You're using the Qur'an Sharif as a lullaby. Baby, baby, sleep, sleep, baby. And now, yeah, the Qur'an will just play and nobody listening. So that is su'ul adab. You must read on the child. Read the focus, read the Ayatul Kursi, all that, and the baby sleep. Not you just leave the CD on there and nobody listening. So that you are sinful. The baby will sleep, but you will be sinful. And to use the Quran Sharif just like that as a lullaby. So people say, does Maulana give khutbahs? The lullaby khutbahs. He just starts and the people go into sleep mode. So you must remember that that is not permissible regarding the Quran Sharif. You can't use it like that.
Mufti Sahib, the next question says, I drank cough syrup and only afterwards I had seen it contains 18% alcohol. Will my ibadat be accepted? Is there any penalty I have to pay?
You must read Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, the last verse, verse 286. رَبَّنَا لَا تُعَخِذْنَا إِنَّ سِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh, beloved Allah, do not take us to task for that which we did forgetfully. We totally forgot. أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh, we did unintentionally, inadvertently. Remember, when it comes to cough syrup, most of them nowadays, they contain alcohol. Anything to insert in your mouth and it has alcohol, whether it's 1%, 18%, 50%, 40%, is haram and not permissible. So make sincere tawbah, give out some charity, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will accept your ibadat. And future, always before you partake that medication or syrup or what have you, always check the ingredients. Remember, today I was in Umrah Hajj, I can't remember. So several years ago, this Baji here, he sat next to me. He ate the whole chicken. And then he asked me, Mufti Sahab, I murgi halal chie. I said, Baji, you clear the whole, the hazam kari level, you eat the whole thing slow, digest it. Now you come ask me, who are you fooling? So remember, this is people today, that they will eat, drink, whatever they want to, and then they. But if you are really honest, it was a genuine mistake, read Salatul Tawbah, 2 rakats, read the last verse of Surah Baqarah, and Allah Jalla Wala is of forgiving, very forgiven. We all make mistakes, we all commit sins, and Allah Jalla Wala will forgive us. When we cry to Allah, Ya Allah, me to gunegar hu. Ya Allah, I'm a fasiq fajir, I'm a sinner, transgressor, Ya Allah, forgive me, envelope me in your mercy, Ya Allah. That is so beloved to Allah. At-ta'ibu min al-zambi kam Allah zambala. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when we make sincere tawbah and repent, then that vices and that sins are expunged and removed from our book of deeds and report as though as we never perpetrated and committed that sin. The benevolence, the mercy of Almighty Allah, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif.
Mufti Sahib, as we move on with our questions, is it true that if you lift your feet off the ground whilst reading salah, your salah breaks?
Obviously, in standing posture, you won't be able to manage that. Or you can pick up one foot, but that will be makruh and are not permissible. And if you are in ruku also, and sitting also. So most probably that will happen whilst the person is performing sajda. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, Umirtu an ajjuda ala sabati a'adha. I have been commanded to perform sajda on 7 parts, 7 limbs and so forth and so on. So what are they? Our palms, then our knees, our feet, and then the forehead and the tip of the nose, that is considered as one. So when we go into sajda prostration, that is an act of complete submission, surrender to Almighty Allah. لَن نَرْكَعْ وَلَن نَجْجُدْ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Ya Allah, we don't bow down to anyone, any creation, king, president, prime minister, teacher, parents, no one. We don't make sajda and prostrate to anyone except you, Ya Allah. So that person goes into sajda, and then both the feet are above the ground the entire duration of sajda, then the salat will be null and void, and you must repeat it. And when that person, one foot is up, one foot is down, that is makruh tahrimi, it's sinful to do that. So therefore, we must learn how to perform our salat. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Swallu kamara ra'aytumuni uswalli, perform and render your salat as you see me performing the salat. So we should not be lifting up our legs in sajda. It should be firmly planted on the land, on the sand, on the ground.
Mufti Sahib, next question. When you're reading salah alone and when you go into sajda and you only read the dua once or twice, is your salah valid? I assume they're saying the tasbih, Mufti Sahib.
If you are speaking about the tasbih, the Subhan Rabbi al-Azim in ruku, then you should be saying it minimum 3 times. In sajda, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la, that minimum 3 times, 5 times, you say very good. But if you said it once, twice, your salat will be valid. But remember that that type of salat is not a good salat. Surah 23, the beginning of the 18 Jews, the 18 Supara, verse number 2. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That who are the true believers who are successful when they perform and read their salat, their namaz, their prayer, they read with total concentration and khushu and khudu. So in ruku, Subhan Rabbi al-Azim. In sajda, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. And that is minimum 3 times, 5, 7 times also good. And between the two sajdas, learn, O Ummah, how to read and perform salat. Between the two sajdas, we went into sajda, we come back, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, no, that's wrong. Mustafa sallallahu, you see the imams in the Haram Sharif? Subhanallah, I was now reading Salat behind Sheikh Huzaifi. He's very old now. So long he pauses. If you make dua, you repeat it 2-3 times also. So between Baina Sajdatain, between the two sajdas. So remember, simple dua, hadith authentic in Abu Dawood. Rabbi ighfirli. So what we're going to do? Ruku, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, minimum thrice. Sajda, first one, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Allahu Akbar. Then you pause. And while you're pausing, Rabbi ighfirli, oh my beloved Allah, you forgive me. Then I go into the second sajda. Then Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So in that way there, we are in that posture. Authentic hadith of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in Sahih Muslim. Aqrabu ma yakunu al-abdu min rabbihi wa wasajidun. The nearest the servant comes to Almighty Allah jalla wala is whilst we are in sajda. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى. Make abundant dua in that posture and position. When you are in salat, then you read the Arabic duas from the Quran Sharif. The Rabbana, Rabbana, all that. The Ahadith Mubarakah, the Arabic language duas. You read that. Out of salat, you go into sajda in any language, English, Afrikaans, Zulu, Sotho, Portuguese, German. Whatever you want to is fine, no problem.
Mufti Sahib, next question. What is after giving birth, what is the sunnah? Please elaborate, and at the time of birth as well.
When you, my sister, my daughter, you gave birth. Today at 3:30, you gave birth, mashallah. So the first thing the family must do, now the baby is washed up, cleaned up, bathed, everything. So in the right ear, adhan. In the left ear, iqama. And then tahniq, hanaka. You take the dates, you chew it, and you place it on the palate of the baby, you know, on top. So that is why it's called tahniq. So these are the three sunnah for the day of the wiladat, of the day the baby is born. First thing the baby child must hear, the greatness, the majesty, the glory of Almighty Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You don't have to put your fingers in your ears when you're rendering the adhan fi udhunil mawlud in the ears of the baby. You'll blow the whole brain box away then. So you just give adhan, you raise your voice slightly, you don't have to shout and scream. Iqama in the left ear and tahniq the dates. After that you make dua. Wa da'a lahu bil baraka. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi sallam, children were brought. And then the master alayhi salam used to make dua for baraka. Hazrat Hassan Basri rahimahullah, he was born in Medina Munawwara. Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu is a khalifa. He chewed the dates, he made dua, the tahniq for Hazrat Hassan Basri. Allahumma faqihhu fi deen. Oh Allah, make him a faqih and a jurist. Wa habibhu ila nas. And make him beloved to humanity and people. Subhanallah. When he moved to Iraq in Basra, people would close their shops to come and listen to the mawa'iz and the words and the lectures and discourses of this Waliullah, Hazrat Hassan Basri. When I was in Iraq in 2000, I purchased this book, Al-Imam Al-Hassan Al-Basri, Al-Wa'iz Al-Bakka. The lecturer who used to cry excessively. The lecturer who used to make the people cry. Subhanallah, these are our stars. These are the great, great people, the awliyaullah. So remember, that is what you should be doing on that day. Today the baby is born, night is Sunday. The seventh day will be next week, Saturday. So baby boy, two goats or two sheep you slaughter. Baby girl, one goat or one sheep. And that will be the aqiqah. Our people, I see they make this mistake, the crazy mistakes. They don't write aqiqah with the A, they write haqiqah with the H. There's no word like haqiqah in this context. The word is aqiqah with the ayn, no H there. So I see so many people sending me queries and they write haqiqah. Likewise, when they write their nikah invitations, they write nikah. N-I-K-K-A-H, totally wrong. N-I-K-A-H, not double K. It's a mockery that. So nikah, not nikah. So you'll see it's a common error this. So two goats or two sheep for the boy, one goat or one sheep for the girl, and that is the aqiqah. Thereafter you shave the hair of the baby, boy or girl, then you take zafran or saffron, you mix it with water, apply it on the head of the baby. That is sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. You give out some charity in cash or kind. You name the baby on your masabi on the 7th day. So these are the sunnahs that you should carry out. And inshallah, that son, daughter of yours will become qurrata a'yun, the coolness of your eyes.
Mufti sir.
Okay, fine. Carry on, Abu
Sab. If one has a sore and, you know, there has been blood oozing from there and one made wudu and performed salah, does one have to repeat the salah and wudu?
Okay, some gremlins came in our system, some shaitans came in, you know. So I didn't know, I'm looking at the engineer and I see we just went into a little bit pause there. So anyway, let's just take this question, inshallah, then we'll go into the nasiha, inshallah. So if a person has a sore and from there blood is oozing out, pus is coming out, some liquid, excretion, whatever it is, so some napaki and what have you, so we have to judge the situation. If that person is bleeding and he knows if he puts a plaster or something after half an hour, 1 hour, it will stop. So then it's fine. You just wait and then you read your salat in the time. You don't go out of time. But if you know it's not going to stop and it's bleeding, then you are ma'azur. So what you do is that you make and perform the wudu. And then you read the salat, although the bleeding is continuing, the pus is gushing out, so your salat would still be valid. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informed us, and that is, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa usaha. Almighty Allah has not burdened any person more than his or her ability, capability, capacity. So therefore, each one of us should realize this. I think, Hafsa, I should go to the nasiha now, inshallah.
Chief Mufti sir, please.
Okay, Jazakallah khairan to Afzab, and we thank all the directors of the various radio stations, Haji Faisal Asmal of Sirius FM, Haji Muhammad Yusuf and Hafiz Shabir Basha of the Ansar Radio, and mashallah, the Capital Group, Haji Muhammad Ikhlas, his parents, his family, wife, children, all of them, and all might Allah Jalla Wala reward them, and all might Allah grant all of them afia. Today is the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, the day when Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise also took place. According to many reports, Mustadrak Hakim Ibn Ishaq in the history book, it's mentioned that the Milad Mubarak of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam also took place on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. So let's take this and see, so that we don't go into that mood of only being happy. Because the demise of Nabi alayhi salam also took place. We don't go into that mood. We just cry and be sad. No, because the Miladun Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam also took place. So Islam is teaching us a lesson. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. Everything you do in moderation. Moderation, I don't mean the Western term, which the people use, the journalists use for Muslim rulers. He is a general, he is a moderate leader. When they use that for Muslim rulers and leaders, you must know, he's a sellout and a munafiq and a hypocrite. He will be busy in his wine, dine and swine and so forth. Moderate here means we don't go to extremes and make ghulu. So go to extreme. Second one is this. We are not told that to follow Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam only in Rabiul Awwal or 12th Rabiul Awwal. He is, without a shadow of doubt, uswatun hasana. The role model, the best example for humanity and posterity. Rahmatul alameen, a mercy to every creation of Almighty Allah and the entire universe. So therefore, O Ummah, not that after 12 Rabiul Awwal, because it was a Sunday, so now we're reading abundant Durood Sharif and we are reading Nafil Salat. Very good. But what about tomorrow? What about the remainder of our life? وَعَبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. We have to worship Almighty Allah Jalla Wala till our last breath, until death takes us away. That is the teaching of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ahabbul a'mali ilallah adwamuha wa in qalla. Authentic hadith in Mishkat Sharif, authentic hadith in Musnad Ahmad. The most beloved action of by Almighty Allah of ours, deeds of servants, is where there is consistency. Even though it is in quantity, little bit. So we read in 2 rakat salatu shukr daily. So that is fine. We are reading Durood Sharif 40 times, 50 times, 100 times, but daily, so it's fine. So remember, consistency is the key and the sign of qabooliyat in the court of Allah and acceptance. Make dua for us and the ummah at large. Now we take you to the news by our chair, with brother Al-Amin Templeton.
Well, we say Jazakallah to Mufti Saab for joining us on the Q&A program and to the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba Online, Radio Al Ansar, as well as Sirius FM. Until next time, we say fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.